Grace and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are continuing our sermon series, Managing God's Gifts, in which we are looking at all of the different gifts that God has given us and how our management of them gives glory to God. Today we're talking about time. Have you ever noticed how so many people are frantically trying to catch up with their busy schedule? It's as though their schedule were a New York City subway train that has just closed its doors and is starting to leave the station. And so they run, coffee in one hand, briefcase in the other, trying to catch the speeding train and hop on, but to no avail. Perhaps your schedule makes you feel that way. If you have school-age kids or grandkids, I'm sure it does, especially if they play sports. Yet God has given to every one of us the very same 24-hour day, the same 7-day week. In this installment of our Managing God's Gift Stewardship series, we look at God's gift of time. First, 2 weeks ago, we looked at managing God's gift of His created world, receiving it with thanksgiving, taking care of it, and using it to benefit our neighbor. Then last week, we looked at managing God's gift of other people, loving and serving them in our God-given vocations. And now we look at time. God created time, and He bestows it on us as a free gift. As with His other gifts, our gracious Lord of the Manor wants us to manage time to His glory. In Ecclesiastes 3, our Old Testament reading, Solomon says of time that for everything there is a season and a time for every man matter under heaven. He then continues with all of the various things that we can do with time, more than anyone could possibly fit in their schedule. But notice where Solomon leads us with this. God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Not only does God give us time, our hours, our days, our months and years as a gift, but He also gives a purpose to our time. God wants you to find everything beautiful. He wants you to be joyful and do good as you manage your time. He wants you to eat, to drink, to take pleasure in your toil as you practice good stewardship of His gift of time. What does this mean? It means enjoying and rejoicing in our labor, comforting one another, receiving God's gifts, and using those gifts to benefit our neighbor. And that is where so often we run into trouble. After all, how can we enjoy or rejoice in anything when we're frantically trying to keep up with the speeding subway car of our overcrowded schedules? How can we be joyful and do good when our schedule's already packed to the bursting point? How can we possibly take pleasure in our toil, let alone in our eating and drinking, when we don't even have time to eat? How can we possibly receive our labor as God's gift when we are moving at a frenetic pace from dawn to dusk? How can we even consider that all these things came from God and that He wants us to enjoy them as beautiful when we are so consumed with ourselves? Even when we can fit some rest and relaxation into our hectic schedules, does it even help? I know I pack my vacations just as full with frantic activities as I do at home, sometimes more. You probably do too. We fill our days off with so many chores that we can't wait for work when we can take a break from the chores. when we do have a little time, so often we just veg out in front of the TV watching nothing for hours at a time. But have you noticed that that really doesn't refresh? We really are like Martha in our gospel too much of the time. When Jesus came to visit, Martha busied herself with dinner preparations while Mary merely sat at Jesus' feet listening to him teach. Distracted with much teaching, with much serving, is how Luke describes Martha. Then Martha worried that Mary was not pulling her weight, and she tried to get Jesus to make Mary help. But Jesus turned it back on her. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." He might just as well have been speaking directly to us. And then he tells her the better way. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken from her. If you remember from over the summer, the last time that we talked about this, what is that one thing necessary, that good portion? Jesus tells us, he lets us figure it out from Mary's actions, which Martha thought was idle inaction. It is sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to him teaching. Let's call it regularly attending divine service, reading our Bible at home, practicing family devotions, taking time to be fed on the bread of life himself. That is the good portion. Now, I'm sure you're all thinking, I don't have time for daily devotions. I'm just too busy. I can't come to worship every Sunday. Sundays are my only day to sleep in. And therein lies the problem. We are anxious and troubled about many things. Things not related to the Word of God. Things that do not and cannot give us the rest that we so desperately need. And this is the reason God gives us the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Let that meaning change your view of life. Let it shape how you manage God's gifts of time. The Sabbath, which is Hebrew for rest, has to do with both physical rest and spiritual rest. It means taking time to rest from our labors every week and whenever necessary. Managing God's gift of time includes withdrawing from our packed schedule and being refreshed in the body. It also includes withdrawing and being refreshed in our soul and spirit. It means setting aside time for God, for hearing his word and being refreshed by his gifts. Managing God's gift of time starts with and circles back to hearing and learning God's word, not only in personal Bible reading and devotions, but also and especially in divine service. When you actually push pause on your busy routine and your overcrowded schedule, when you actually attend divine service and gladly hear preaching and learn God's word, God himself works in you. God himself gives you the rest that you need. And God himself works so that you may find everything beautiful, be joyful, and do good. Jesus knows firsthand how the body wears out and needs physical rest. He also knows how the soul needs spiritual rest in his word. After all, he experienced both of these himself. When he took his rest, he did so by observing the worship day and praying. For all of us who neglect his word, for all of us who fragile ourselves with our frantic pace, our Lord Jesus did his greatest work by suffering and dying on the cross. Consider how that wore him out to death. And then he rested in the tomb on the Sabbath to restore the day of rest for our benefit. And finally, he rose victorious on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, to restore us to proper Sabbath keeping, to proper management of his gift of time. As the writer to the Hebrews says, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. There is a story that's been around the internet a number of times about a college professor explaining time management to his class. He showed them a gallon jar and dropped in a load of large rocks into it, which filled it up to the brim. "Is the jar full?" he asked. "Yeah, it was definitely full." Then he poured a bunch of medium-sized stones into the jar, which filled in the cracks between the large rocks. "How about now?" "Yes, that jar was certainly full now." And then he dumped a bunch of pebbles into the jar, which filled up the jar clear to the top. "Do you think anything more could fit in this jar?" "No, that jar was well and truly full." And so finally, the professor poured sand into the jar. The sand filled all the remaining space in the jar without overflowing. Managing God's gift of time looks a lot like filling that jar. All the rocks will fit into the jar, but if we start with the small stuff, the sand, and put that into the jar first, and then put the gravel in on top, and then the medium stones on top of that, there will not be room for those big rocks. But when we begin by putting in the big rocks first, the most important things, followed by the medium stones, followed by the pea-sized gravel, and then followed by the sand, then it will all fit. You see, the big things, the important things, go in first, and the smaller pieces work around them to fill in the gaps. When it comes to managing God's gift of time, family devotions, hearing and learning his word, attending the divine service, and receiving the Lord's body and blood, these are the big rocks. These are the important things. If you try to fit them into your busy schedule last, then there will not be room. So, schedule them first. Then put in the medium stones of other obligations, such as family, work, and so on. Then put in the less weighty stuff, like social activities or outings with friends, reading a book, a hobby, the gravel and sand, if you will, and that fills in the gaps. And you may just find that your busy schedule still has gaps to fill as you choose. God gives time as his gift not so that you will feel frazzled or feel like you are chasing the departing subway or even feel like you are just chasing your own tail. He does not want you to be anxious and troubled about many things. Instead, he wants you to spend your time on that which is important, which builds up. Jesus entered into time, after all, to make time holy for us. He spent time among us to show us the importance of using time to his glory. He endured hours of agony on the cross to forgive our unholy use of time. And he spent a Sabbath rest in the tomb so that after our time here is spent, we can spend an eternity resting with him. But until then, in managing God's gift of time, our gracious Lord wants you to be joyful and do good as you manage your time. He wants you to eat, drink, and take pleasure in your toil as you practice good stewardship of his gift of time. And now may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.